adaptation, keeping in mind that microaggressions can really manifest themselves in multiple different ways with different types of groups. And as therapists, we want to watch out for not only racial microaggressions, but all types of microaggressions. If you'll go to slide 8, I've listed here the main categories of microaggressions that Sue and others have described. Understanding the subtle difference between these is probably not the most critical, but I like to present them just so that we can see that there are some differences, and it provides us with a more nuanced understanding of microaggressions and the language to be able to describe these phenomena a little bit better. So the first type of microaggression is the microinsult. So these are often unconscious verbal, nonverbal, and environmental communications that subtly convey rudeness or insensitivity that demean a person's heritage or identity. So a lot of examples of this. One of them is helping a wheelchair user without asking if they need assistance. So there could be a lot of hidden messages here. So with microaggressions, there's always what's actually happened, what's actually been said or done, and then there's always that hidden message underneath that can be harmful. So with this example, helping a wheelchair user without asking if they need assistance, the subtle message or messages, I think, here could be that the person doesn't know what's best for them, and you need to make the decision for them. So they may not need they know that they need help, but you do. Sort of like a child, so it's infantilization. And this is something that I know persons with disabilities tend to complain about quite a bit, including my husband has mild cerebral palsy, and he says really his entire life he's been infantilized, and he's 33 now, and it continues to happen. And he really relates it back to having a physical disability where he's walking different, he looks different, he's smaller than the average man, and this leads him to be treated differently. So that infantilization, I think we see a lot with individuals with disabilities, and we also see it with women a whole lot. Women are infantilized, so that's the other example here. So for instance, joking that you can't give a female office worker feedback or she'll cry. This is something that I think we've all heard about before, just that stereotype of women crying, and of course that's totally unacceptable to do. I'm joking, but that would be another example of a micro insult. So it's subtly rude and insensitive. It's not the old-fashioned blatant sexism. You know, the women are inferior and only belong in the kitchen. You know, it's not like that, but it's still something that can be pretty impactful and pretty harmful. So the next type is the microassault, and this, to be honest with you, I'm not even really sure why microassaults are categorized as microaggressions, because I see these as just old-fashioned examples of racism, sexism, other forms of bigotry, whatever. So this is explicit verbal or nonverbal attacks meant to hurt the intended victim. So with microaggressions, usually there's not an intention. There's no malintent on the perpetrator's end, except for microassaults. And with microassaults, there is an intent. So it's name-calling, avoiding behavior, purposeful discrimination. Just one example I threw in here, which is actually from a website where people report the microaggressions that they've actually experienced in their lives. And this is one that came up, which is, I don't get that tranny. Should I call it a he or a she? So that is pretty blatant. So microassaults, super, super obvious. These do still happen. I've been shocked. I don't know what it is the past few years of my life, but I've seen actually quite a bit of this. I think I used to think that microassaults were kind of a thing of the past, and I've been learning recently that they're really not. However, I will say that you're not going to see these nearly as much as you're going to see the other types of microaggressions. And like I've said before, I actually think that the microassaults are a lot easier to respond to because they're so shocking and you don't miss them. You know, they're really easy to catch. I think it's these other types of microaggressions that are really subtle that you don't really blink an eye at, that you don't even see happening, that are a whole lot harder to address. And then when you do see them, it's still hard to address because nobody else seems to be picking up on it, or it's just really not that big of a deal. And so now you're the one making it a big deal. And that can be a difficult position to be in, for sure. And we'll be talking more about that later. Okay, the next type is micro-invalidations. So these are communications that subtly exclude, negate, or nullify the person's thoughts, feelings, or experiential reality. So this would be things that these can be really, really, really subtle. So this could even be, for instance, pictures that represent an organization's that an organization is homogenous. So it can just be that maybe you're looking at a brochure for your daughter to go off to college, and you're looking at university brochures, and maybe the brochures show a lack of diversity. I just show like all, white students or something. Or another example of this could be that you go maybe say to, a museum or something, and you're learning about famous types of people of a certain kind. And let's say you're walking through and you see, and this is, this example applies to a lot of universities too, and you see busts, bronze busts of people who have done something of importance, and all of them are white men. So the subtle message or the underlying message here could be that to be successful, you have to be a white man, or if you're not a white man, that maybe you don't even belong. So another example of micro-invalidations is color blindness. I think this is a really common one too, saying that you don't see color. I don't see you as, Latino. I see you as you. I just see you as a human being. And this is really meant in a benign way. This is not something that people say, I think, trying to be negative. But the underlying message can be that race isn't important, or your experiences, your own personal experiences with race are not important. Or maybe that by saying that, I'm actually trying to erase your cultural heritage and your identity and things that make you different that are actually really important. So those are some examples of micro-invalidations. And then finally, micro-inequities. Are times when individuals are either singled out or overlooked, ignored, or otherwise discounted based on an unchangeable characteristic. So it can kind of go either way. It can be that a person is singled out or that they're completely ignored. I've seen it happen both ways before. So I've had someone come to me before and say, you won't believe what happened at this meeting. I was looked at, and this person said to me in the middle, a big group of people said, well, you're a lesbian, what do you think? So putting that spokesperson pressure on this individual, making her basically of the opinion for all lesbians, supposed to represent all lesbians. And furthermore, there was something else that kind of happened with that incident where it was actually outing this person. So this wasn't a public group of people who necessarily knew this person's sexual orientation, and that person had reasons why maybe she wasn't entirely comfortable with everyone in the room just knowing that about her. So it was really uncomfortable, and it was harmful on multiple levels. On the other side of things, micro-inequity can be when a person is just ignored or overlooked, and this is harder to catch.